Well, I'm going to talk on the first reading today, it's always one of those readings where I'm always relieved when there is not a male lector. I remember many years ago, when I was probably first ordained, there was a lector and in the local parish, and it was a celebrant, and the lector was sort of famous for, you know, he did not read, he just kind of read in a very monotone voice, and he got up and he said, "Hark, my lover, he comes, springing across the mountain, leaping across the hill." But anyway, here I am this morning, surrounded by many religious sisters, brides of Christ. Is your glory as religious sisters to manifest this in a very special way, the idea of the church as the great bride of Christ and you individually as great signs of being brides of Christ. And I think that, you know, in this this reading, just a quick review of some of its basic elements, you know, again, this great image of the woman in the Song of Songs representing for us the church speaking, that "Hark, my lover comes." Of course, the Lord is close. He's come. He is near at hand. And so the bride rejoices that the Lord is near at hand. Now, there's a little line in here that I often think of with Eucharistic adoration in particular. It says here, "Here he stands behind our wall, and gazing through the window, peering through the lattices." You know, and I've often thought of Eucharistic adoration as the Lord's there in the monstrance, if you will, peering through the lattices, you know, looking through the windows. There's a beautiful image of God peering through in this image of Eucharistic adoration, looking at the bride, and this great and beautiful image of the bride and the groom. And it finally goes on to say here, "My lover speaks. He says to me, 'Arise, my beloved, my dove, my beautiful one, and come.'" You know, the human race had been cast down, fallen. You know, all of us with a fallen nature in a fallen world, commanded by a fallen angel. You know, fallen. And so the Lord comes and says to us, "Arise, arise, my beautiful one, and come." No matter how much we have sinned or how disfigured we have become because of sin, God still has this intense and powerful love for us. And it's a marital love. It isn't just some sort of, "Well, I guess I got to tolerate you and take care of you. You know, you're like a stray cat that wandered in. I guess I got to take care of you." I mean, it's not like that. It's much deeper. It's richer. The Lord loves us with a magnificent and marital love, His bride, the church. And now you, all as women, just had this beauty of manifesting this. And a little word about that. You know, I do deeply regret in recent decades, you know, how any sense of the church's dignity as bride and mother has sort of been, you know, sort of swept under the rug. And most people today speak of the church as an institution. And because they think of it as an institution, they can just talk about it. "I don't like that, what it is saying," and, you know, it. And there's a kind of a depersonalization of the church. The church is no longer not only the bride of Christ, but therefore a great mother to us. She is the mother of many children, and we should reverently refer to her as our mother and think of her that way. And but the church has simply become it. And then along with that has come a kind of a denigration of the glory of woman, and all the while marching under the banner of, you know, liberation and the dignity of women. One of the great dignities of women has been set aside, and that is to image the church as a bride. You know, everyone says, "I want to be a priest." Not everyone, but I mean, you know, the demands are strident. You know, "I want to be a priest, I want to be a priest." And that's the only way to somehow, you know, represent something which is good and decent. I want to represent Christ. Well, but Christ has a bride, and she's beautiful, and she needs to be represented too. And there's sort of a loss of any notion that there's something good or powerful or decent or glorious. And I've often thought, you know, really, at a wedding, you know, the bride gets all the attention. And the groom died for the bride. The bride has incredible dignity. The bride is beautiful. The bride is beloved of God. The bride is, you know, the church, namely, the bride is the one for whom the Lord said, "I will lay down my life But people just don't think about these things anymore. We've sort of lost any notion of the magnificence and the beauty and the dignity of the church's bride. And everybody just wants to talk about, you know, representing the groom. But remember, it's a wedding feast, and if the bride doesn't show up, you know, we don't have much of a wedding feast, you know. So I would only ask, you know, that, you know, we all, I don't think anyone here in the room necessarily needs to, you know, to hear all of this. But again, just that, you know, we as a church just need to recover an idea that there's something quite glorious about the church as a bride. And there is a remarkable loss of any appreciation of this concept today. The church is not bride, she is not mother, she is it. And, sad. So anyway, all of these things said, I want to just say that the timing of this reading is a little bit off. The winter is past. Well, I'm sorry to have left you, sister, standing in the cold for a few minutes this morning. but the flowers appear on the earth and the time of pruning has come. But, you know, the point is that the weather is not really the point. The question is what's going on in our heart and our soul. You know, I'm 48 and approaching 50 and so on. And at some level, you know, my physical appearance, my body and so on is becoming older looking and frumpy and all that stuff. But but spiritually, I feel I'm younger than ever, and I feel alive, more alive than ever. And it's springtime in my life, you know. I feel a very very powerful love of the Lord, and He's brought me so far, and I've received so many gifts from the Lord. I would never want to be 28 again. You know, all right, so my body will be sound, sleek, I'll have more hair, and, you know, maybe even a few girls will look, you know, all that kind of stuff when I was 28. That, you know, that was, but I was not spiritually alive, you know. I was pretty well, I shouldn't say 28, I was by that time beginning to be serious about prayer. But man, in my early 20s, you know, I was physically alive, but spiritually. But now you see, more and more alive, you see, than ever before. And, it's so whatever the weather is not the point. The point is in the soul, in the spirit, you know, are we alive? You know, Paul said our outer self is wasting away, but our inner self is being renewed day by day. So this is what the Lord does for us. So the church is bride, and most of you religious sisters who are here this morning, all of you religious sisters, not all of you are religious sisters, but have a very special glory of representing this beautiful bride, and women in general as well, all represent the bride. This is a glory of womanhood. This is a glory of religious life. And I hope that we can really celebrate this morning this great thing and help others to do, because that, I think, has often been lost. And sadly, as you know, you religious sisters and I have talked before, many other religious sisters have even lost this, you know, abandoning the habit, just not even wanting to be seen as sisters, demanding, you know, other roles and so on. A great and terrible and sad loss for them. And again, the glory. I say the glory of the church as bride. Amen.